The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Wrestling to the Max, NXT Review.
I don't know how you do this, Brandon. I really don't.
What do you mean?
Like, normally I have something witty to start off these shows. Normally I have something high energy to get these shows started with, but, man, I'm dragging ass. Four podcasts in a day and a half.
Four? Wait. Oh, okay. I get what you're saying. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Raw, SmackDown, yeah. 205 Live, and now we are live to the W2M Network. With the Wrestling to the Max NXT review for July 4th, America, 2018. I'm your host. My name is Harry Broadhurst. I don't have anything witty for this tonight, so he's Brandon Biskabing.
And I doubt anyone actually watched this quote-unquote live.
Technically speaking, I could have if I wanted to, but I was focused on other endeavors at that time, specifically getting ready for Big Brother.
I was out, I was still finishing dinner at 8 o'clock and then proceeded to go see fireworks.
Dinner, fireworks, and a female companion. You're living the life, homie.
Uh-huh.
Wish mine was around more. She only comes up on weekends, though, because of her work schedule.
Yes.
All right, enough about me wallowing in self-pity. What do you say we got to get into this here? Because, quite frankly, I have nothing witty to add right now. You guys, I just spoke to you guys a day and a half ago, and frankly, not much has happened in that day and a half. I watched Big Brother, and that was about the extent of what I did.
Yep.
I watched Big Brother, and I sweated off my balls Mahoney in this apartment. That is never not going to be funny.
Need to get that AC fixed.
I'm telling you, I got to talk to somebody, man. Even if it means I have to get off my lazy backside and actually clean the apartment a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
There are those that would make the argument that I'm a borderline hoarder. So this could take a while.
I like to call it controlled chaos.
That's the exact phrase that I use, but my girlfriend says, no. You live in a mess.
As yes. long as you're able to actually find what you're looking for, it does not matter.
That's what I'm saying. There may be a lot of stuff, but I know where almost everything is.
Exactly.
You get it. Thank you. All right. Serendipity aside here.
Enough of your potential hoarding problem.
Yes. Standing in Serendipity aside,
we may need to get you on what's the channel that they have that show on? Discovery?
Yeah, like I watch that.
I don't either, but you know what I'm talking about.
Well, the show was called Hoarders. I know
yes,
that much.
I know that much. I just don't remember what channel it's on.
If I had to venture a guess, I'd say A&E, but I'm not sure.
Probably. You're probably right.
Not that I've watched the show or anything. We're getting completely off topic. What do you say we get into the NXT review for July 4th?
Yeah, let's do that before this show goes even more off the rails.
We are a presentation of the W2M Network, available online at W2Mnet.com. In addition, you can find us in many of the places where you listen to these podcasts here. iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Stitcher, Podbean, CastBox. Hey, Brandon.
Yes.
Guess what?
What?
Something's coming.
Glacier?
Somebody call my mom.
No. No, we do not need him back. He can stay on Fox News.
Is he on Alicia Fox News?
That was a good one.
Thank you.
Wrong show, though.
Yeah, he returned on 205 Live, available in the archives, actually. Chill. Segway. I hear Spotify is coming.
Yes. Yes, apparently. Eventually.
To the voice.
Spotify is coming.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Somebody missed his cue and had to be reminded. For those of you thinking we actually do these with anything resembling a format, literally, the only thing that Brandon and I do when we do these episodes, traditionally it's for SmackDown 205 and NXT here, is I pull up Larry Zonka's review from 411 so that way I have a list of the format of what happened on this show, and then we just kind of go out there and half-ass it as best as we can.
And we still do a good job at it.
Every now and then we whole-ass it. Just, it depends on how good the show is.
Yes. Yes, and depends upon how much we actually care.
Like the 205 main event, completely whole-assed.
Yes.
Let's see if there's anything that lives up to that tonight. Our opening contest is scheduled for one fall.
One fall.
Wait a minute, we're starting with a match? What kind of witchcraft is this?
This is called NXT, a.k.a. the wrestling show, where this actually happens, unlike every other show in WWE, where they always have to start with some sort of McMahon in the center of the ring.
I mean, I will remind you that our opening promo is scheduled for 15 minutes on Monday Night Raw on a regular basis here. Yes. But anyway, it is the leader of Team Kick, Dakota Kai, taking on the returning, from the Mae Young Classic, Santana Garrett, Brittany, for longtime TNA watchers.
Okay, I was wondering, I mean, I didn't really watch much of Mae Young Classic. I was wondering who that was, and Tori actually asked me who that was, and I said, probably someone from the Mae Young Classic, so thank you for confirming my assumption.
Yeah, she was in Impact Wrestling under the name Brittany. She was working with Samuel Shaw a couple of years ago there. She's also a former Shine champion as well, too, so... I don't know if Shine means anything to you. I'm not sure how into women's wrestling
people are. I know of it, but are they also in Japan or is that U.S.?
That's American-based. It's out of Florida. That's out of Florida.
Oh, okay.
It's like the little sibling promotion to a company called Shimmer.
Yes. Yes, I've heard of that.
All right. Well, anyways, real quick here. It is a... it is a singles match here, and Dakota Kai picks up a win to once again reestablish herself in position in the women's division here. All right, I'm going to try to figure out how to best describe this this finishing move, because frankly, I'm a play-by-play announcer, and even I'm having a hard time with this one. I'm going to go with Sunset Backstabber.
Yeah, well, even I think did Percy, like, make a comment about that and was like, what the hell, like, what was that move? Or someone made a comment when she did it.
To be fair, it's not like Percy's called a wrestling match in his life.
True. So. But the fact that even Moro didn't know what exactly to call it was pretty impressive.
And I don't know that it has an official name. I mean, I can check her Wikipedia page while we're kind of having this conversation.
I think Moro mentioned something like a little after the match happened, like while they were showing the replays or something. But I could be wrong.
Well, the way that I'm going with it is I'm calling it a sunset backcracker. Hmm. Because she did a sunset flip up and over into the backcracker. So that's what I'm going with here. Until I am proven wrong, that's what I'm going to officially call it. So... what were your thoughts on the opening contest here?
I mean, it was a pretty good match. I mean, it wasn't really much. It was, I won't exactly call it a squash, but it was definitely something to get Dakota some more momentum. We'll see what happens with, what's her name? What's the other one's name?
Santana Garrett.
Yeah, Santana Garrett. We'll see if she ends up doing anything more in NXT moving forward, but this was mostly just a focus on Dakota and getting her some more momentum.
Her Wikipedia page does not have anything listed for that finishing move, so I'm sticking with Sunset Backstabber.
Fair enough.
As far as Santana Garrett goes, Santana's one of those women who apparently the WWE have had their eye on for a while. Do you think she's somebody that could fit into the NXT women's division?
I haven't really seen enough to really make a full assessment of her, but, you know, with the right character and the right push, yeah, I think she could do something.
All right, do you want to continue with the women's division here, or do you want to do these in order?
If you want to go through the rest of the women's stuff first and then jump back, that's perfectly fine.
All right, well then, our first actual in-ring segment that we got was the NXT Women's Champion, Shayna Baszler, coming out to talk about her title defenses against both Nikki Cross at TakeOver Chicago and Toni Storm at UKCT2, Night 2. She talks about the fact that it really doesn't matter between the best athlete in NXT, Bianca Belair, the lady who can't even get her personal affairs in order, Candice LeRae, or Kairi Sane, the Pirate Princess. They have no chance. The fact of the matter is that once the matches are over, the only thing you're going to hear is "and still," referring to the "and still" champion ring announcer cliche that we've gotten over the years recently. One that NXT, or not NXT, Impact Wrestling has even gone as far as to start using as a hashtag on Twitter when they post the results from their shows.
That's funny.
They use the hashtag "and still" or hashtag "and new." I mean, it's something simple. It's something quick and easy to let everybody know what's going on in the show. The issue I have with doing it on a live show is if people are watching on a delay, is if then they follow on social media, you're kind of spoiling.
Yeah. Well, but then again, WWE doesn't really seem to care about that either, considering their updates or their alerts that they send out when a new champion is crowned during NXT tapings.
Well, then turn off your damn notifications, Brandon.
Yes, I know. We already had this conversation.
What were your thoughts on Shayna's promo?
I liked it. The one moment that I had to think about for a second, and then it kind of popped me once I got it, was her, her jokes about everyone, and then her referencing Dakota and her fake team, Team Kick.
That's a long-standing Shimmer thing, to my knowledge.
Yeah. But
that being said, she does throw a lot of freaking kicks.
Yes. But yeah, this promo was good. It was it was what you expect from Shayna, with her saying, "Oh, I'm better than everyone else," and running down the rest of the women's roster right now. It was a good promo. We'll see where it goes. They announced... I kind of wish that we would have gotten some sort of interaction between the two, because it didn't really fully make sense as to why she's suddenly getting a title shot. But I think they announced a little later on that Kyrie's going to be facing Baszler for the title.
Kyrie has Vanessa Bourne next, actually.
Oh, wait, you're right. I thought, for some reason, they announced something between Kyrie and Shayna.
Well, if you think Vanessa Bourne has a chance against
Kyrie
Shayna...
Oh, no, absolutely not.
I got a bridge in Brooklyn for sale. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That was one of the things that we were about to touch on next, so thanks for taking care of that.
Yeah.
The other thing to touch on the NXT Women's Division, and then we'll go back and get back into the rest of the heart and soul of this particular show, is Bianca Belair sending in a video from her honeymoon. Mm-hmm. First of all, congratulations to Bianca and Montez Ford on their wedding.
Another team to add to the forthcoming Mixed Match Challenge Part 2, the couples version.
Okay, Sean, I want you to listen very closely to what I'm about to say. Mixed Match Challenge 2 on W2M Network? Not happening! I already had to R-Truth mea culpa for the first one. I'm not doing that crap again. I might still watch, but I'm damn sure not reviewing it.
No. But hey, at least if it's all, like, married couples, it may at least have some intrigue, and you wouldn't have a foregone conclusion winner like you did this last time. Even though It's so annoying that they did all that effort of keeping her undefeated streak and made an idiot and a monster look strong and stupid, respectively, just for her to lose the streak a week later.
At WrestleMania.
Yes.
Shall we go back and start up the NXT show from where we left off?
Yes, let's do that.
All right, so Heavy Machinery are working out at the Performance Center while they have some steaks being made. Otis Dozovic goes to check on the steaks. The Mighty proceed to check on Tucker Knight's kneecap. Diagnosis? Hurting, apparently, after
out.
They're done. Yes. So that leads us to a handicap match between the Mighty, Shane Thorne and Nick Miller, taking on Otis Dozovic. You know, like, I understand why they let Otis look as good as they did here, but in letting Otis look as good as he did, this did no favors for Shane Thorne and Nick Miller.
I'm perfectly fine with it, because it's one of those moments where, you know, it shows that Shane, you know, the Mighty now as their new heel gimmick, they are the chicken you know what heels. And
chicken spit?
Yes, precisely. Yeah. And their concerns were validated in this match, because if Otis can do that much damage to them and come close to a victory on his own, how good would they have done together as a tag team 2-on-2 without an advantage? So
you say that, but the last time those two teams met 2-on-2, the Mighty won. Granted, there were some
chicanery.
There were some ring ropes that were used in a less than duplicitous manner. I just like busting out the big words every now
yes,
and then.
Yes, of course.
All right. So, in actuality, Tucker Knight was away for the birth of his child. So, congratulations to Tucker Knight. And this is directly from Larry's review. So.
Ah.
401mania.com/wrestling. Check out the link for Larry Zonka's reviews. I would make the argument that as of right now, Larry's probably the best reviewer online. Okay. We discuss Oney Lorcan's injury sustained at TakeOver Chicago 2. Yeah, when two dudes are punching each other as hard in the face as him and Roderick Strong were, not really surprised. I do believe the official diagnosis is a fractured orbital bone. And he had surgery and will be out somewhere around 3 to 6 months.
Damn.
Yeah, well, when you bust an eye socket, it happens.
So he got the evil treatment.
I don't know who that is.
Evil.
I know who that is.
Yes.
I was playing off of my known history of not caring about New Japan in the past.
Yes.
Anyway. I am evil. You are evil.
Everything is evil.
Yes, I swear. Anyway. Danny Burch is caught up with backstage by Kathy Kelly, who apparently is only on NXT these days, unfortunately for Finn. And he talks about how TakeOver was a culmination of years of hard work, but they came up short. Oney had surgery, but he will be back. The Undisputed Era arrived. That's all, folks. As it is Roderick Strong, Kyle O'Reilly, you should know where I'm going with this, Bobby Fish, and Adam Cole!
Baby!
Confronting Danny Burch over what happened with the their match at TakeOver Chicago, and the fact that they suffered a blip on the radar when they lost the tag team titles, Strong and O'Reilly did, to Mustache Mountain, saying that next week they get a rematch for their tag team titles. Burch makes fun of them for losing the titles, and then challenges Adam Cole,
baby,
to a singles match next week on NXT television, and Adam Cole,
baby,
accepts. No word on if it's a non-title match or if it's for the North American title. My assumption is non-title.
Yeah, I would think non-title because Adam didn't specifically mention.
I'm sorry, who?
Adam Cole.
Baby!
Didn't specifically say, not only will I give you a match, but I'll put my title on the line, because that's normally what heels do.
That's so much fun to do.
Yes, it is. I'm so glad. I mean, granted, we've seen a lot of other things be kept in WWE when guys from the indies have come over, but I am so glad that they kept that as part of his gimmick.
They're going to have to be careful, though, because they're going to turn that dude babyface way before they want to.
Well, I mean, in theory and, I mean, in reality, in terms of the crowd reactions, I would say Undisputed Era is already face.
Tweeners at the very least. What it is you have a group of four respected independent wrestling veterans that the crowd in Full Sail, especially the Smarks down in Full Sail, they kind of gravitate towards.
Not to mention,
they got the reaction that they did in Chicago because Chicago's a wrestling city, so they're going to gravitate towards the former Ring of Honor stars.
Oh, yeah. I mean, WWE should have known that as soon as Adam Cole,
baby,
came into the company, that he was going to get cheered no matter what they did.
Cole is one of those guys who's so charismatic that you can't help but enjoy his work.
Oh, yeah.
There's just a natural charisma about him. I'm gonna make this statement right now, and this really won't be a surprise to a lot of people, but I stand by it. Within 2 years, Adam Cole will be WWE champion.
I disagree only for one key reason.
Excuse me. Within 2 years, Adam Cole,
baby,
will be WWE champion. Go ahead, give me your disagreement.
All I need to say is two words: Vince McMahon.
Yeah, McMahon's a fan, though. Why else do you think Cole's been appearing on the main roster shows? He was at the Greatest Royal Rumble. He was in this year's Royal Rumble.
That's true. So maybe he will be the one to finally break the mold. Well, I guess Brian kind of broke the mold already. Somewhat.
War Raiders promo discussing their escapades thus far in NXT. Go ahead. You know you want to.
War Machine! World domination! Ah! I wish they still would keep that, like, do promos post-match and still do, like, War Raiders World Domination and do their whole thing.
When you did that, the only thing I could think to myself of was, it's time!
It's oh, time. God. It's better time!
It's rest in peace time!
Yes.
Highlights of Tommaso Ciampa and Al.
You there?
It wouldn't be a W2M Network show without some kind of technical difficulties, Brandon.
Yeah, really.
Recap last week of Tommaso Ciampa challenging Aleister Black, and I have to mea culpa here. I know what you're thinking. What are you mea culping about?
Yeah, yes, quite.
I said that this was going to be the main event for NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 4.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. They announced that this match is going to happen, what, next week or in 2 weeks?
3 weeks.
3 weeks. So, I told you, I'm calling it right now. Johnny Gargano interferes in this match, thus setting up Gargano Ciampa 3.
Or, what's up, dog? Or... Ciampa takes the title, and the match in Brooklyn 4 is for the NXT Championship in some kind of super stipulated match where Gargano not only puts the ending touches on Tommaso Ciampa, but also gets the NXT title he's been chasing since the end of last year as well.
That would be even better. I'd be perfectly fine with that, too.
Kind of screws Aleister 6 ways from Sunday, though. Yeah,
but, I mean... That happens in WWE where they want to get a title on a feud just to make it feel more important and screw someone else over as a result.
Moving on, our next contest scheduled for One Fall.
One Fall.
DREAM. Yeah. It's catchy.
Oh, yes. Yes, it is.
I blame Prince. It's catchy because of Prince. Velveteen Dream taking on the returning to NXT television for only his second match, Chris Dijak.
FKA Donovan.
Yeah, well, he lost his Donovan in his contract signing. He had to give it up in the signing of his contract. Hey, more and more people are getting to keep the entirety of their names. If he has to give up Donovan to keep his last name, I think he's okay with it.
Yeah. At least he kept part of it. It's not like back in the old days of NXT where they lost their entire names.
Or they lost first or last names during the course of their run in NXT.
Well, most of the time when they would lose first or last names, they would lose them once they came up to the main roster.
This is true. Looking at you, Antonio.
Or Langston.
Langston. Yeah, really.
Adrian. But
yeah, poor Neville. I think that's why he left, because he was pissed that he lost his first name. I mean, putting over Enzo probably had something to do with it.
Just a bit.
But he was pissed he lost his Adrian. Oh, Adrian!
And here's looking at you, Buddy and Wesley.
Buddy got his buddy back.
Oh, yeah, he did. You're right.
Wesley screwed, but that's because he's not on television anymore. Yeah. Apparently he's doing a tag team with Steve Cutler called the Forgotten Sons.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, it is, because both of them have been forgotten. Anywho, back to the show. I will say this much. I do like the fact that I do like the fact that Chris is getting to keep the Feast Your Eyes.
Mm.
And Velveteen with the perfect counter to that, shushing him, quite literally. I popped.
Yes.
My question is when we see Chris actually start to win matches, is he going to be able to keep Feast Your Eyes the finishing variety?
I would think so. It may not be called that, but it'll probably keep the same move.
It's a vicious-looking finisher, the inverted torture rack into the facebuster. Velveteen picks up the win here with the hammerlock crossover DDT. As Velveteen is celebrating his win, however, and that's what makes you just you and me. I'm in the top 1%.
Ugh.
Hate him all you want to. That dude is money. EC3 interrupticists.
See, this one actually made sense because, you know, they had Velveteen a little bit of beef from last week.
Velveteen walked out on him in the UKCT2.
Yep.
Yes, he did. When we come back, EC3 is in our main event. But first, a backstage promo with the boys from Mustache Mountain, Tyler Bate and Trent Seven, as they talk about next week's tag team title defense here. I like Bate and Seven, but I don't see any reason why the belts don't go back to Strong and O'Reilly next week.
Oh, yeah, no. Especially considering they're trying to push the whole UK show. So, I mean, I don't know when exactly that's starting.
My other question is, how close to ready is Bobby Fish?
That's the interesting question, is like, is he going to be the tag team member now, or is he going to be, it's still going to be Roderick and Bobby, or not Bobby, Kyle.
Kyle. Yeah, the question is the question becomes once he's medically cleared, because I'm not sure if he is yet or not. I did not look at the NXT spoilers. I'm watching these shows fresh. I do not look at the spoilers for NXT, at least I try not to. I question rather or not the tag team title defense next week from Mustache Mountain will be against O'Reilly and Roderick or against Red Dragon.
I'm not sure. But if it
I
does...
Know they, I know they announce it as O'Reilly and Strong, but card subject to change.
Yeah. I'm not sure... Well, the question that I have, though, I mean, I guess there are other factions that have done similar things, but once Fish becomes cleared again and he rejoins the tag team and recreates Red Dragon, are we go, like, what is Roderick gonna then do?
I feel like it would make sense. At least I would have it where he gets frustrated with his role in the group and ends up destroying it from inside, going after Cole in the North American title. But that's just me.
I could see that, or the other way that I would like, I would personally love to see happen, is, you know, Adam loses it to someone else.
I already know where you're going with this, because I think we talked about you want him to evolution the belts.
Yes,
the NXT heavyweight,
yep.
The NXT heavyweight, the North American and the tag team titles. Yep.
Yes, I do.
I don't think you need that kind of factual control in NXT. Especially given the fact that there's like no factions immediately up against them. And the only reason that I could see that making any kind of sense is if they're going to set up for War Games 2 and there's been no confirmation of that.
True. I mean, I get your point, but it would still be a lot of fun to see Undisputed Era just completely run house.
That being Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish, Roderick Strong, and...
Oh, you want me to do the whole thing?
No, it's my turn.
You missed
your chance.
Adam Cole!
Baby! All right, that's the last time for this episode, I promise. Now time to get more of our stuff in, though, as our main event scheduled for One Fall. Is the aforementioned EC3, the formula for success, if you're wondering what it stands for. That still makes me chuckle. One of these days, Dixie's going to show up on NXT television, and it's going to be fantastic.
God, no. Just no.
Yes.
Keep her far, far away from television. There are two former authority figures that I never want to see. Actually, three. That I never want to see on a wrestling show ever again.
If you say Eric Bischoff, we're no longer friends.
No, Eric Bischoff is not one of them.
Is one Vicky Guerrero?
Yes.
I can tolerate Vicky. I think she has a niche.
Oh,
let me see here. All right. God. Obviously, one of them is Dixie Carter.
Yes.
Mike Adam.
He's a close fourth, but no. This one was in 2012.
Oh.
Is he the executive vice president of talent?
Yes, he is.
When I have a sore throat after like a night of going to a wrestling show, my Johnny Ace impression is even better.
It's people power.
I am the executive vice president of talent relations and the general manager of Raw at SmackDown. I am also a dynamic dude, but that's not neither here nor there.
We are completely off track. Let's get back to our main event. Yeah, Johnny Wrestling beat that ass.
Yeah, he did.
I was a little bit surprised by the booking of this match here. Like, I understand Gargano picking up a rebound victory, which he does with the rope-hanging DDT at 10.5 minutes in order to get his momentum back from the loss of Ciampa at TakeOver Chicago. But I figured for sure we were heading to some kind of disqualification ending here, which I think would have done better for Gargano as well.
Yeah, it probably would have worked better in the storyline that it seems that they're going towards of, you know, he's...
That Gargano can't control his temper, it's getting the better of him, and it's overtaking who he was.
Yes.
Him getting himself disqualified either for not releasing the Gargano escape or for... the mounted forearms that he was delivering would have made more sense to me rather than having EC3 eat a pinfall loss here.
Yeah. I just thought of something, and I know in the modern WWE ethos and everything, in the modern WWE way of thinking, they would never do this. But have you watched Cobra Kai yet?
I have not.
Okay, well, there's a moment in it where his girlfriend brings one of her family friends to a party with her, And
spoiler alert if you haven't seen the show yet and intend on watching. Continue.
Fair enough. But and he gets mad and goes to attack him and accidentally hits her. And I have a feeling like the way to like kind of snap him out of this is to have like Candace come out, try to help him, Tommaso come out to, you know, antagonize him, and he tries to go after Ciampa and accidentally hits Candace.
They've kind of already done that to an extent, though, with Ciampa knocking him off the apron into
but
Candace.
That wasn't him doing it. That was Ciampa sending him into her. Like, I want him to do, like, a wild punch towards Gargano, or towards Ciampa, and Ciampa, like, ducks or dodges it, and then he, like, keeps on, like, he overswings it and hits her instead.
I think they've done enough with that in the past with these, with them having that kind of interaction, like, accidental strikes towards a significant other and stuff. Not to mention, you've seen it as well as I have, that they tend to discourage men on women violence.
Well, no, that's why I'm saying that in the modern WWE, way of thinking that it would never happen, but that would be kind of an interesting way of, like, you know, like, having him start to go down this dark path. And then, you know, Ciampa kind of, like, antagonizing him and being like, yeah, you're seeing the light now. And while Candace is trying to, like, bring him off of the edge, and then, you know, him actually accidentally hitting her, you know, is what kind of snaps him out of it.
I don't think these two are done with each other.
No, they're definitely not.
I mean, maybe for now, because both of them have other things to move on to. Obviously, they're setting up Ethan for a run. EC3. Ethan Carter III, in case people don't know. Obviously, they're setting up Ethan for a run with Velveteen. Obviously, they appear to be going back towards one more match between Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa, possibly for Brooklyn 4.
Yep.
But it feels like these are two gentlemen whose paths would definitely cross again in the not-so-distant future.
Well, I mean, with what you were talking about earlier, that could be the way that this goes of, you know, EC3, his main goal is to get the title. If Ciampa does end up winning next week, and then Gargano proceeds to beat him at Brooklyn for the title, and EC3 beats Velveteen, he could position himself as the new number one contender, thus starting the next feud between the two.
Well, I think a lot of that will depend on how much longer both Gargano and Ciampa stay in NXT as well, because I don't think either of them are especially much longer for the NXT realm in general.
True, but I think, if anything, I think they're going to probably come up next year.
All right, and that's officially a wrap for this week's episode of NXT TV here on the WWE Network and for our review here on the W2M Network. Scale of 1 to 10, Bisco.
I'll give it a 7.5, you know. There weren't really anything that really didn't either start a new story or continue some sort of story, and there weren't really many bad moments on this show. So yeah, I'll actually go up to an 8, actually.
I'm gonna go with a 7, personally, because there was one really good match here, and then the sprint between Velveteen and Dijak was good, but not great. This was a very angle-heavy version of NXT, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, they set the stage for a lot of stuff going forward while not necessarily delivering too much in terms of overall in-ring content.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, the best wrestling on TV this week was 205 Live.
Oh, yeah. In terms of in-ring action, 205 was definitely the best.
But the thing that you'll notice, though, with NXT and 205 Live is, realistically speaking, you can say that those two are trading them every single week anyways without fail.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, I don't think there's any question that it's either going to be NXT or 205 Live as your best show of the week.
Yeah.
I do the one-word review thing, but I feel like We've already done enough for this episode, not to mention that's more of a three of us thing rather than just the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, frankly, I'm tired. I just want to watch tonight's episode of Big Brother and call it a night.
Okay.
Anything to add before we get out of here, Bisco?
Nope. Just tune in next week. Not sure who's doing Raw next week, but, you know, Raw, SmackDown, 205, NXT again.
Stuff.
Lots of stuff.
Things will happen. Stuff will happen. We'll be there to talk about it.
Hey, don't forget, we've got our predictions next week.
We do. And then actually is an added bonus treat for everybody in 2 weeks' time for the SmackDown Live review. We're going to open SmackDown Live with my live thoughts on Extreme Rules.
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit of pulling the curtain back on what went down and what you may not have seen at the pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll have to tell me how ridiculously loud the Roman sucks chants were as compared to how they are on TV.
Yeah, how much editing they do, yeah. How much the sound they do.
Yeah.
August 9th, the kickoff returns to the W2M Network. Myself, Brandon Biscobing, Eric Watkins, Jason Teasley. We have our college football preview edition on the 9th, the AFC on the 16th, the NFC on the 23rd, the postseason and award prediction special on the 30th. That is for the kickoff here on the W2M Network. In addition, Brandon and Jason do a show of their own here for football on W2M as well.
Yes, we do Fantasy Football to the Max, talking about all everything you need to know about the fantasy side of football, and that'll be coming back probably around mid-August, doing another quick little draft preview to get you ready for the season and a little preseason preview. And then once the season starts, going week by week, who were the booms, who were the busts, both from the week before and preparing you for the week ahead.
I have a suggestion for a segment for you guys.
Okay.
SOS.
What would that be?
Starter sit.
Yes.
You pick one guy who isn't necessarily a starter on a weekly basis who has a favorable matchup. You pick one guy who is a starter on a weekly basis who has a disfavorable matchup.
Yeah, that sounds good.
And you can call it SOS because it could stand for start or sit.
Yes. Well done.
I'm helping shows all over the network.
Yeah.
From the mind that brought you, are you serious? comes SOS. I'm still saying we need to get Anaya to do the sound effect for that this year.
Yeah, we do.
Because nothing says hilarity like a little girl calling you out on your snuffleupagus. Just saying.
Yep.
He's Brandon Biscobing. I'm Harry Broadhurst. This is the W2M Network, W2MNet.com. This has been the Wrestling to the Max NXT review for July 4th, America, 2018. I'm going to go back to sweating my balls, Mahoney off. Thanks for listening. Have a great week, everybody. I might be back next week for NXT. I don't know what's going on here. Hurry back, Gary.